Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and man, oh man, am I looking forward to hopefully having a couple of Daddy Sodas this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Happy early holidays, I guess. Did you say happy holidays for Memorial Day? I don't think so. Happy early Memorial Day to you and yours. Hopefully you guys have some Daddy Sodas. It is the College Draft Podcast. He is the star, the one and only Fran Duffy, the video scouting guru from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm the host, Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, and you can always get this podcast over at rosstucker.com, where we relaunched new website. Thanks to Christopher at Prompt Internet. You guys can check them out, promptinternet.com. He is a listener. So very cool that rosstucker.com has been redesigned by a listener of the podcast just like you guys. If you remember last week, we started a new series, and that new series is breaking down the top pick, the sleeper pick, the guy that's kind of we'll see, and the undrafted gem for each team. Nobody else has an undrafted gem for each team like Fran does. Top pick is the guy Fran likes the most from either the first or second round. Sleeper is the guy he likes the most basically from rounds 3 through 7. We'll see is a we'll see how it works out, which is Fran's polite way of saying he's a little bit skeptical. Doesn't mean you don't think he has a chance, Fran. You just, you know, there's some issues that they'll have to overcome one way or the other. You ready to rock and roll today, my friend, with the AFC and NFC South?
I am ready to roll. Dude, I just went over to rosstucker.com. The new page looks outstanding. Awesome.
Doesn't it?
Job by Chris. Yeah, it looks
awesome.
Yeah,
christopherpromptinternet.com. Amazing. Thank you for that. Yeah, he did a really, really nice job. He's a stud. Stud. I mean, in fact, I got another business I'm working on, Fran, and I've got Christopher doing that because I was so impressed with what he did at rosstucker.com. Anyway, let's start with the Houston Texans and their top pick, which I can probably guess because you were pretty high on this guy.
Yeah, for me, this one was a pretty easy one, and their top pick was Deshaun Watson. They traded up from the 20s up to the 12th spot overall to select the quarterback out of Clemson, make him the third quarterback off the board. And honestly, of the three quarterbacks that went off the board in the first round, of the three guys that teams traded up using multiple high-priced assets to select them, I felt the best about Deshaun Watson, and he's going to the best situation of those three players, both short-term and long-term. So I'm excited about Deshaun Watson and his transition to the Houston Texans. I think that he's got an NFL skill set. Do I think that he's got a top-end skill set in terms of overall arm talent and what he can bring to the position? Not necessarily, but I do think that he has starting traits in the NFL, and I do think that he can be a starting quarterback in the league. So I am excited about him, and I know we've talked about him numerous times over the course of the last year. So if you go back and listen to the quarterback preview and things like that, I do think that he has the traits to be a starting quarterback, and that's why he was my number one passer going into this draft. My sleeper pick for the Texans was Trestan Dekou, who I evaluated as a corner. It seems like they're going to play him at safety early on in his career to start. And I liked Dekou because he has good size. I mean, he was listed over 6'2", I believe, and he's got the ability also to play sideline to sideline. Yeah, he came in just under 6'2", 206 pounds. He's got really good length, 33-inch long arms. He didn't test well as a corner, so I imagine that's why he's going to get looked at as a safety early in his career. His cousin, Thomas Dekou, was a longtime safety for the Carolina Panthers. But he's a guy who's got pretty quick feet. You know, he's a tough kid, can come down the hill and defend the run. I'm excited about his transition. I do think that he can translate potentially even to a starter at the safety spot. I thought he was a backup corner, a good guy that can come in dime packages and impact tight ends. But I think he could do that same exact thing for the safety spot. So I'm excited about the addition of Treston Dekou to that Houston secondary.
All right, let's keep it moving then. And what about the guy that you say we'll see with for the Texans?
Yeah, this was a tough one. Just looking at their draft, but the one guy that, you know, I liked him, but I didn't like him as much as others, and that was their second round pick, Zach Cunningham out of Vanderbilt. Now, I do think that it was proper value. I think that there were a lot of people talking about Zach Cunningham potentially in the latter end of round one, maybe even early round two, and I wasn't really buying into him that high. But getting him with the 57th overall pick, I'm not going to knock them too much there. I think that he's got physical tools that you can work with. Obviously, he's got outstanding size and length. He's got the ability to play sideline to sideline. The big thing that I worry about when I look for a linebacker transitioning to the NFL, I want a guy who's got really good instincts, and I want a guy who's a really good tackler. And he was a little bit inconsistent with both. Doesn't mean he was awful, but by definition, inconsistent. He was up and down. And in both areas, I would have liked to see him be a little bit better for him to be a really high pick. So he's got upside. I think that he can play sideline to sideline. Put him next to Benardrick McKinney, I think is going to be a really strong duo. But to me, I would have liked to see Cunningham just get a little bit better this past year as a junior. And then they took a guy in the undrafted ranks, Ross, same position, linebacker Dylan Cole, I believe from Missouri State, if I remember right. I watched him actually going back. Yeah, Missouri State, going back his junior year, I watched him last summer as one of my small school guys that I took a deep dive on. He's a little bit undersized, 6 foot. He came in at 239. I know he played a little bit lighter than that, but he's an explosive athlete. Now, he's going to go undrafted because, again, kind of like what I said with Cunningham, he wasn't always a great tackler. He didn't always see things clearly, but he tested through the roof. And to get him an undrafted free agency, I thought was pretty good value because I gave a draftable grade to Dylan Cole. So I'm excited to see how he'll look this summer during training camp.
Let's get to the Indianapolis Colts. The top pick is another one, I'm guessing. I can guess what you thought because you and I were both very high on this guy.
Yeah, you and I both loved Malik Hooker. Yeah, his ceiling is so high. It seems like he's going to be ready to go day one. So I expect that he's going to have a huge impact on Chuck Pagano's defense out there in Indianapolis. The ability to play as that center fielder. He told him on the phone, Chuck Pagano did, on draft night that he was Ed Reed and that he could see him as Ed Reed. And I think that Malik Hooker has that ability, those ball skills, on the back end are rare for the safety position, to put it frankly. And for a guy who's played as little football as he has, I think that he's got a really, really impressive ceiling. I'm really excited about Malik Hooker, and I think they've got good value there. He's not a 15th overall pick if you look at him on tape. He fell because of the shoulder and some of the injury issues that he had, and obviously the lack of experience. But when you watch him this past season in 2016, you're not looking at a guy who's the 15th overall pick. So a really big pickup there for the Colts. As a sleeper, I went with another guy in the Big Ten, and a player that I was shocked that he fell to the fifth round, and that was Northwestern linebacker Anthony Walker Jr. And I mentioned with Zach Cunningham that I value instincts at the linebacker position. He's not as athletic, Walker, as Cunningham, but he sees things so quickly, especially in the passing game. I thought he was one of the best coverage linebackers in this draft, especially in underneath zone coverage. He was a really, really instinctive player. The ability to read route concepts, break on throws before the ball left the quarterback's hand. He's a good tackler. He got better this year as a tackler compared to his sophomore season. He's got some pretty good size to him, can play downhill, but then also has the ability to play sideline to sideline, more so because of his instincts than because of his athletic ability. I like the addition of Anthony Walker to that defense.
Who is your will see and your undrafted gem for the Colts?
So when I look at the Colts, I think that, you know, overall I like their draft. But when you go to the second round, I know a lot of people are really high on Quincy Wilson. Really tough, competitive kid. He's an outstanding run defender. He's got good length. He flashed good ball skills. My big concern with him, watching him on tape, was does he have the speed and athletic ability to hold up one-on-one against number one wide receivers in the league? You know, is he going to be able to match up and hold step for step, you know, with a Julio Jones or with a, you know, even like look on his own team, you know, is he going to be able to match up against a T.Y. Hilton? I don't know that he's going to be able to do that. So I'm anxious to see how he's going to be used. Is he going to be viewed more as a number two corner? And how is he going to kind of develop there? That's kind of how I viewed him. I viewed him as more of a number two, maybe even as a number three corner on the outside. I wasn't sure that Quincy Wilson had that top shelf upside to be one of the top corners in the NFL. So that's why I wasn't really high on him as a first round pick. But second round, 46th overall, we'll see how he develops, and then they could get good value there. But I am interested to see how he develops and how he transitions to the league. And then lastly, for the undrafted gem, I stayed in the SEC. They got a player. Remember, they've lost a couple of tight ends from their roster over the last couple of years. You know, they traded Dwayne Allen this offseason. I think Colin Jeter from LSU, he's not a flashy pass catcher, but he's a really good blocker, and he does have good hands. He's just not a dynamic athlete. He's not a great route runner at this stage of his career. That's why he went undrafted in this tight end class. But he's got good size. I think he can develop as a blocker, maybe take on some of those roles that are left behind by Dwayne Allen. Maybe not this year as a rookie, but down the road. I think he's got a shot at making that team.
Let's talk Jags. Who's the top pick in your mind?
Yeah, that's Leonard Fournette. Yeah, I know there were a lot of people that weren't necessarily as high on Fournette to take him that high. I loved Fournette, and I thought he was one of the top players in this draft. You look at his size, his burst downhill, his physicality, his ability to impact three downs, I thought was undersold throughout the draft process. And Tom Coughlin is going to use him. You know, Tom Coughlin wants to play downhill. He wants to play a physical brand of football. And I think Leonard Fournette fits the bill for how Tom Coughlin wants that team to look and their identity there in Jacksonville. So I love that pick. I just hope that they've got the horses up front to be able to open up holes for him. But I think that they'll be able to leverage the most out of his skill set. And then sleeper selection. I'm going to go back to round five, and I'm going to go back to the linebacker position. It seems like over the last 2 weeks, round five, that's where I'm finding a lot of these sleepers for teams. Blair Brown, the linebacker from Ohio, was a guy that I didn't get a chance to watch for the first time until very late in the process. And I was blown away, honestly. I thought that very similar to what I said about Anthony Walker, he saw things really quickly. He was more athletic than Anthony Walker. So he's got the ability to play in coverage. I think that he can do that right away. And they've got a few linebackers there in Jacksonville, whether it's a Miles Jack, whether it's a Telvin Smith, so that he does not need to play in base right away. But I think he could develop into a starter down the road. And I loved Telvin Smith a couple years ago coming out of Florida State. But Blair Brown could challenge Telvin Smith down the road as a starter. I think he's got starting traits. I love his physicality. I mentioned his instincts. And he's got the movement skills as well to play sideline to sideline. I thought they got a really good pick there with the 148th overall selection of Blair Brown from Ohio.
Okay, and then the we'll see for the Jags. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, I know that you and I both kind of saw Cam Robinson. I like the physical tools there with Robinson. It just was not consistent. He was a little bit better this year compared to last year in 2015. 2015, honestly, was a bit of a train wreck in a lot of ways. And he gave up a lot of sacks. He had a lot of penalties. You saw a little bit more of that this year. Now, they did get him in the second round, so it's not like they took him in the first round and there's going to be a lot of expectation put on him right away. But it does seem like they view him as the left tackle there for the years to come. So I'll be very interested to see if he's able to put it all together, because I think his talent is very good. His execution and use of that talent was not always up to par. And then they got a player in undrafted free agency that any other year, I think this kid's getting drafted. And that's the cornerback from Middle Tennessee State, Jeremy Couture, who's got really good length. He's a little bit wiry. I think he came in at 175, 177 pounds. But he's got really good length. He can run. He's got ball skills. He, for years, was trying to get into LSU and trying to get into LSU and couldn't do it because of grades. So he ended up at Middle Tennessee State, was a really talented player for them. He was at the East-West Shrine Game, I believe, and a guy that's got some tools that you can work with. Any other year, I think this kid's getting drafted. I think in this cornerback class, he just kind of slipped through the cracks. I think the Jaguars got a really interesting selection there with Couture, and I know that they were looking for cornerback help.
You know, a lot of people, and I think maybe even myself included, think the Titans have a great chance to end up on top in the AFC South. What did you think of their draft, starting with the guy you think is their top pick? And considering you called it in the mock draft we did, I have a guess what this will be.
Dude, they cleaned up. John Robinson, you know, going back a year ago, everybody applauded their draft from a year ago and what they were able to do and all the moving around they did and a lot of the players they picked up. They had an early impact. He may have even, grown on that this year, because you look at what they did. First of all, Corey Davis, to me, was a top five player in this draft. That's why I had him going to the Titans in our mock draft, because that's how high I viewed him. And then he ended up going to the Titans there with the fifth pick. I think he's a total package at the receiver position with his size, his movement, his ability to win at the catch point, both up in the air and then also on the run. He's great after the catch, and most importantly, he's an outstanding route runner. And you see his ability to separate both with his athletic ability and also his technique. That's rare for receivers coming out of college, and that's why I viewed Corey Davis as that type of value pick there. I think he's going to be an outstanding weapon there for Marcus Mariota. And then as a sleeper selection, I'm going back to round five. I'm going back to the linebacker position. They took a guy that really caught my eye last fall out of UCLA in Jayon Brown, very much like Blair Brown because of his abilities in coverage. You know, he's a little bit undersized, reminded me in some ways of the Jaguars player Telvin Smith that we just finished talking about. Jayon Brown can play in reverse. He's got good instincts, good eyes in pass coverage, and the ability to come downhill. He's really aggressive despite his frame, and he's got the athletic ability to play sideline to sideline. I think Jayon Brown is built for today's NFL.
All right, let's get to the we'll see. And this is a guy that I know you've kind of been skeptical is not the right word, just curious to see how his growth at his position.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because – you know, you love everything about Adoree Jackson from a physical standpoint. He's a little bit small, but when you see his quickness, you see his athletic ability, obviously he's got the top end speed. He's a playmaker with the ball in his hands, both on defense and in special teams as well as on offense. But Jackson, from everything I've heard, was also an outstanding interview, and coaches everywhere loved him and GMs everywhere loved him. So I think that's why that kind of helped in terms of teams trying to project how is he going to grow, how is he going to develop. He's a great kid off the field, and a lot of people felt, okay, he's going to reach that physical upside. And when you look at Jackson, the big question is going to be, how is he going to be able to play the ball downfield? He played so much off coverage, and there wasn't a ton of examples of him staying in phase and finding the ball late downfield. And that was one of the things I was constantly searching for. I'm excited to see how he's going to develop there in Tennessee. They've got a pretty good defensive coaching staff. I'm excited to see how he's going to develop, because his talent excites me. I just wish I saw more in terms of NFL translatable plays on his film. But big fan of his game. Excited to see him develop. And then for the undrafted gem, they took a nose tackle that I had a drafted grade on in the undrafted ranks. And that's D'Angelo Brown from Louisville. He's a little bit short, but he is really stout. He's really strong. His weight room numbers were outstanding, but that strength carried over to the field, most importantly. And he's not an outstanding pass rusher right now, but I do think he's got some quickness and the ability to be a three-down player if you need him to be. I think that D'Angelo Brown, to me, had a draftable grade on him. I thought that he's got the ability to be a serviceable number three defensive tackle, a guy that could potentially even be a spot starter at times. I thought they got good value there in undrafted free agency.
Let's get to the NFC South and start with the Falcons.
Yeah, I love Tack McKinley, and he was a guy that the more you watched him, the more you saw, you know what, this guy isn't just a flash-in-the-pan player, because he's got the athletic ability, the high motor. I mean, his motor was just outstanding. Really physically, competitively tough kid. The two issues that I had was he came in at 255 or so. He didn't always play to 255, and he got moved in the run game a little bit more than I would like to see. And he also just wasn't great with his hands as a pass rusher. He was more of a, you know, let me win off the ball, turn the corner, and then chase after the quarterback. But then when you hear about his injury, and you heard about that, I think it was mid-January, late January, in the build-up to the combine, that he had played the last year and a half, 2 years, with a shoulder injury, with a torn labrum, and I think it was a fractured bone in his shoulder socket. So the fact that he played the last 2 years with that shoulder injury, that kind of makes me wonder, all right, well, was that an issue for him in the run game? Was that an issue for him in terms of trying to win with his hands at the next level? Did he have full mobility of that shoulder? Now I'm interested to see, what's he going to look like when he's fully healthy and he's put up front on that Atlanta defensive line? They needed some pass rush help opposite Vic Beasley. I think McKinley could end up being one of the best overall defensive players in this draft. They got him at pick 26, and they saw that he was worth moving up for in this draft, and I agree with them, because McKinley's upside, I think, is really, really high. In terms of a sleeper, I'm going to go back to round five again, except not for the linebacker position this time. They actually took a tight end that I'm a big fan of, and that's Eric Saubert out of Drake, which was an FCS non-scholarship school, but Saubert is a guy that is really, really competitive in everything he did. I know he's not the biggest player in terms of winning at the point of attack, but really competitive blocker. He's competitive after the catch. He catches everything thrown his way. He's a better route runner than you would expect for a guy coming from a small school. I like Eric Saubert. I think he's got the ability to turn into a really nice option, if not as a backup option, even potentially as a starter down the road. I like Saubert and his upside.
Who's your will see an undrafted gem for the Falcons?
You know, I would say Duke Riley in the third round. They didn't have a second round pick. I look at Duke Riley, and you know, I know that it seems like they're going to put him as the starter opposite Deion Jones and move Devondre Campbell to the strong side linebacker position and maybe not have him play all three downs. He was attacked in coverage at times this past year on their Super Bowl run. But Duke Riley is only a one-year starter like Deion Jones, so maybe they see some similarities there. I'll be interested to see how he and Jones complement each other because their games are very, very similar. So I'm very anxious just to see how that works out this year for the Falcons in the front seven. And then in undrafted free agency, they honestly didn't have a ton of names that I was completely familiar with, but one name I did study, one player I did study, and I know you were higher on this guy than I was, probably because of the Ivy League roots, but Alec Torgerson from Penn, the quarterback, it seems like he'll be battling there with Matt Sims for QB3 this summer in training camp.
Carolina Panthers, top pick. I know who this is.
Yeah, okay. Christian McCaffrey. I mean, really excited to see how that's going to look there in the backfield with both he and Jonathan Stewart. I think he's an outstanding runner, not just in terms of his pass catching and ability to win on the perimeter with his athletic ability. I think he's good enough between the tackles to be an every down back, and he's got really good vision. He's really decisive. You obviously love that quickness and the ability to impact third down, but I'm a big fan of Christian McCaffrey. They wanted to get faster and more dynamic. I think they did that in round one, eighth overall with McCaffrey. And then they took a guy in the third round that I've been really, really high on. I would say higher than most throughout the course of the draft process. And that's Deshaun Hall from Texas A&M, the guy that played opposite Myles Garrett for the Aggies. 77th overall, he's got good length. He's a high motor kid. He can defend the run and use his hands well to attack tackles in the as a pass rusher. I think he's got the ability to be a starter down the line. I thought they got a really good player there in the third round in Deshaun Hall.
Okay, and then the will see an undrafted gem.
Yeah, you know, everyone kind of raised their eyebrows a bit when they select Christian McCaffrey in the first round, and then they come back in round two when they select Curtis Samuel. And, you know, they're going to play Curtis Samuel as a slot receiver and a lot of the Ted Ginn comparisons in terms of his speed and ability to stretch the defense. He didn't do a ton of that at Ohio State, but I know in talking with him during the pre-draft process that that was something that he wanted to prove to teams during the pre-draft process, during workouts, was that he can be a vertical threat down the field, even though he wasn't always used that way at Ohio State. But honestly, I'm excited to see him develop as a slot receiver. But then also, I go back to two or three years ago when Carolina went on that Super Bowl run, Ross, and you remember all the different looks that they had in that backfield with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams and the option run game and some of the elements that they ran out of the pistol and out of the inverted wing and out of all the different formations that they were able to do, a lot of that, the option run game. I think that Samuel will be a part of that as well, and that wouldn't surprise me at all if they go that route there in Carolina. I'm excited to see how he fits in that offense. And then an undrafted free agency, they picked up a corner in Cole Luke from Notre Dame, who was moved from the outside inside as a big nickel slot player this year. He's got good size, he's instinctive, and he's got ball skills. He just was not a great athlete. I think that he could turn into a really nice piece as a dime defender and a matchup guy in the secondary. I like Cole Luke, and I think they got good value there in undrafted free agency there with the kid from Notre Dame.
How about the Saints, where I noticed you don't have my buddy Anzalone in any category, which is okay, I guess. What about the top pick for them?
You know, to me, their top pick for me was Ryan Ramczyk, the tackle from Wisconsin. You know, and I know he's only a one-year starter, and he got the torn labrum, and I know all that. I am a little bit interested to see a kid who did not want to leave the state of Wisconsin to go to college when he got offers from Pitt, from Paul Chryst, when he was the head coach there with the Panthers. Then he moved to Wisconsin, and he decided, okay, now I'm ready to play D1 football. How is he going to moving to the Big Easy? But on film, I liked Ryan Ramczyk. And as long as everything checks out off the field medically, I think Ramczyk can be a starting left tackle. Now, he's not going to be that right away, maybe potentially not even ever, with Teron Armstead there. But I do think that he's a starting tackle in the league. He's really fundamentally sound and in terms of using his hands. He's got really clean feet as well. I think Ramczyk is a really good player. I know you watched him as well. And I'm excited to see how he fits in. He's going to be a right tackle, I would imagine, within the next couple of years there down in New Orleans. And then for me, the sleeper pick for them was Trey Hendrickson, who I watched for the first time in the fall, and I came in with kind of low expectations. He was so productive, and that was the one thing I knew going in. But when I watched him on film, I really liked him, you know, because he used his hands well. He was a high motor guy. I didn't see an outstanding athlete on film, but he had a really good pass rush plan, knew how to attack offensive linemen. And when you can defend the run and to play with a high motor and also know what you're doing as a pass rusher, I feel good about your ability to translate. He goes to the Shrine game. He tears it up in St. Pete. And then he goes to the combine and has one of the best workouts of any pass rusher there. So he's really just checked all the boxes in terms of his performance during the pre-draft process. I'm excited about what this kid could be down the road. I think he could be a starter off the edge as a defensive end or as an outside linebacker. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he became that sooner rather than later.
Who is your Will C guy for the Saints and your undrafted gem?
I could have gone a couple directions here because they picked a couple players that I was a little bit worried about during the process. Marcus Williams from Utah, I didn't think was an outstanding run defender. And for a guy that you want to be an every down safety, I wasn't sure how I felt about his ability to come downhill. But I'm just anxious to see how Marshon Lattimore pans out, man, because, you know, to me, I saw all the physical tools you want. The upside is there. You know, he's got the speed. He shows good ball skills. He's got the quickness to hang in man coverage downfield and as well as close to the line of scrimmage. But the hamstring injuries are an issue. You know, this was his first healthy season. He couldn't get through the combine workout because of those injuries. I just worry in terms of, and he also wasn't a great run defender as well. I don't want to say that there were a lot of similarities with Justin Gilbert, who I was not a big fan of coming out of Oklahoma State. But Lattimore, to me, just I saw a guy that was more athlete than football player. And so I'm excited to see if he can prove me wrong and if he can turn into the corner that a lot of people thought was worth a top five pick in this draft, and he ended up falling to number 11. I'm anxious to see what Lattimore looks like down the road. And then an undrafted free agency, they picked up a receiver in Trayvon Doral, who I ranked as an undrafted player. You know, I thought that he wasn't worthy of a draft selection, but he does have some speed despite his combine test scores. He does have the ability to make some plays down the field. I'll be interested to see how he looks down there with Drew Brees in New Orleans.
And last but not least for the AFC and NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the top pick for them. Is that a no-brainer?
Yeah, I thought they had one of the best values in the first round, getting O.J. Howard there with the 19th pick. They wanted to add a tight end. It's pretty clear that they value the ability to go to 12 personnel with both Howard now and Cameron Brate, and gives Jameis Winston a guy that can be a dynamic weapon in the middle of the field. You know, his ability to get down the seam, his ability to go up and win in contested situations, he didn't do a ton of that at Alabama, but he showed he could do that down at the Senior Bowl. And he's also a good blocker. He's not a dominant blocker. He's not a mauler at the point of attack, but he's more than good enough to hold his own there in pass protection and in the run game. So I'm excited about O.J. Howard and his transition to the Bucs offense, which added DeSean Jackson on the outside, as well as my sleeper selection, Chris Godwin in the third round from Penn State. And Godwin is another one of those contested catch receivers, was one of the best contested catch players coming out of this draft, and his ability to go up and win at the catch point. You know, he doesn't have outstanding size. I didn't see an outstanding athlete on film, but he tested through the roof at the combine. It was one of the most surprising combine workouts this year out in Indianapolis. His ability to go up and win at the catch point, paired with that quickness and that speed that he showed on the turf in Indy, I think that's a really interesting combination. I just wish that I saw a little bit better of a route runner, but if he can develop, I think they got a good one there in Chris Godwin.
Okay, and then the Will C guy and the undrafted gem.
Yeah, you know, Justin Evans, for the safety they took from Texas A&M, I think a lot of people worry about him against the run. I wasn't as scared off by him as others, and I do think he can be a starter. So I'm okay with him in round two, although it was a little bit high. I'm okay with that selection. To me, the bigger question, and a lot of people are really excited about Jeremy McNichols and thought that they got great value in round five. I thought that was a little rich for me. I saw McNichols as more of a later round undrafted pickup. He's a really good receiver out of the backfield, and he can bring that right away. I just didn't see a natural runner, you know, in terms of being a ball carrier. I didn't see a guy with great instincts. I think that he's more of a check to Charles Sims than he is to Doug Martin. And to me, if you're going to use him, if that's the plan that you want to use him as a change of pace guy, I think he can develop into that. I just wouldn't expect a three down back from Jeremy McNichols. I just don't see that think that he's going to be that kind of primary ball carrier in that offense. And then an undrafted free agency, they picked up a linebacker in Riley Bulla from Michigan State, a guy who's really physical. He's instinctive. He's battle tested. He's really tough. He can play sideline to sideline. Bulla, you know, any other year, I probably would have viewed Bulla as an undrafted free agent or a late round pick. But in this class, which was a little bit thin at the linebacker spot, I did have somewhat of a mid round grade, you know, on him. So I did view him as pretty good value for the Bucks there in undrafted free agency.
I love it. I love this series. Next week, we will recap the AFC, NFC West divisions. Only two more weeks of going through. It's important to get the sleeper selection, the we'll see, and the undrafted gem for each of these teams, including yours. And then we'll look back at 2013, 3 years after the fact, before we start diving full speed ahead into the 2017 season. Spring football is behind us. Spring recruiting is almost behind us for college football. The college football preview magazines are starting to come out. It's all happening right now, and you know this is the place to be throughout the season, throughout the summer, to get you ready to know who the top prospects are to be watching next college football season. Leading into next year's draft, it is remarkable how it just never ends. Make sure you follow Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3 and his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Brian, our producer, at RTF Podcast. If you're a Facebook person, it's facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Please go ahead, check out the new website over at rostucker.com. I think you'll like it. And if you take advantage of any of those sponsors, make sure you send it to me, ross@rostucker.com, and we will automatically read and respond to whatever question you have about whatever prospect or evaluating whatever prospects. That's what we do here on the College Draft Podcast. For right now, though, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.